Welcome to the Rethinking Learning Podcast. I'm Barbara Bray. This is where I have conversations with awesome educators, leaders, and change agents about their passion to transform teaching and learning. Welcome, everyone, to the Rethinking Learning Podcast series. I have to say, I'm in Australia today with Julie Lindsay. I've known Julie for so long, and I've been wanting to have this conversation. But before we start, I want to tell you a little bit about Julie. She's led the way in global education and technology-infused connections and collaborations across 6 countries, including Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. She is now based back in Australia as a consultant, presenter, and workshop leader, and is the director of Learning Confluence, founder of Flat Connections, co-author of Flattening Classrooms, and author of her new book, The Global Educator, which I have right here. I have both her books. I love them. Julie is highly effective and sought-after educational consultant due to her ability to understand different global context, and to bring experience and opportunities to others through her passion for learning and teacherpreneur approach. Welcome, Julie.
Hi, Barbara. It's lovely to be here and to be talking to you today.
Well, I was just with you on Global Ed Conference and went to several of your sessions, and I always enjoy talking to you at the conferences. And what I want to do in this conversation that we have is learn more about you. So I'd like to start first with you, your background, and, you know, just how you got to where you are now.
Oh, goodness. Oh, it's a bit of a journey. Let's see, where will we go to? Well, look, you know, 20 years ago, I was a music educator, and I did, you know, I've got a lot of music in my background. I'm a jazz piano player. I have a master's degree in jazz research and composition, and but I'm also in the 90s. I did a lot of music technology. So that was my bridge into educational technology. So I did, you know, music composition through using technology, and we did all sorts of great things. I had a whole music technology suite I worked in an independent school in Melbourne in the 90s. But then, you know, the internet came in, and that was just so exciting, you know, to have that availability. So I was doing internet club after school. I entered my students into one of Yvonne Marie Undress's Cyber Fair projects in the 90s, and we got an honourable mention. You know, this is like so it was so exciting, but then it wasn't my main thing. I was still a music teacher. So I went to the University of Melbourne and did a postgraduate certificate or postgraduate diploma in computer education. And as soon as I finished that, my husband and I decided we wanted to teach overseas. So we applied for a teacher exchange. That didn't work. And then we saw this tiny little ad in the paper that said, come and teach in the real Africa. So we applied for that, and we ended up in Zambia. And it's exactly 20 years ago. In fact, we're going to have our little commemoration. December the 30th, 1997, we left Australia with our 3-year-old daughter to move to Zambia. And I popped out in Zambia as a computer teacher. They put me straight into a computer lab that had no internet.
Wow.
And there I was, a computer teacher, straight from walking out of the classroom in Australia as a music teacher. So that was really, really, really interesting. So anyway, we were in Zambia for 2.5 years, and we decided this is a pretty good life. We'll keep going, but we don't want to stay in Zambia. So as a teaching couple, we went to a couple of job fairs, and we found jobs in Kuwait. So we moved to the Middle East for 3 years. And then we went to, where do we go, Bangladesh. We went to Bangladesh for 4 years, and then back to the Middle East to Qatar for 2 years. And then we went to China. We finished in China, Beijing, for 3 years. And that's where my daughter graduated. She was 18 when she left China. And that's when we left as well. We just said, right, well, I think we're coming home now. So we're back in Australia.
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea. You know, it's really interesting. I just have to say something. I've been interviewing a lot of people from all over, and many started as music teachers.
Really?
Yes,
isn't that funny?
It's really interesting. I'll have to, well, maybe do a thread on all the people that started as music teachers, and maybe do a panel or something, because... And that and the global ed, because I had no idea that you lived all these different places. I knew you did some, but I didn't know that many.
Yeah, we were out for 15 years, just on 15 years, yeah. And it was great. It was just an amazing life. And now life is quite different. I live up in northern New South Wales. I live by the beach. I don't live in a capital city. I live in a very small town, 30 minutes away from a good airport, which is also international, 2 hours away from the Brisbane airport. So that's my link to civilization. So I can still get out. And the internet, we don't have broadband, but I do have ADSL2, so it's just good enough for me to do what I need to do at this point, which is all I need.
Well, I guess you, nowadays you can be anywhere almost if you have the broadband. You're traveling and you're doing so much. You got me very excited about global education. And I read your, the first book on flattening classrooms and now your new book, but why are you so passionate about this? Is it because of all the travels?
I know. Look, it's my life. It really is. And I was just in China 2 weeks ago speaking at a conference that I had a lot to do with five, six, 7 years ago. And it was great to go back to that Learning 2 conference, which is mainly for international educators. And, you know, I was talking about, you know, they're saying, you've been doing this for so long. I said, yeah, 20 years. 20 years I've been doing this. And it really is because, you know, I've seen the power of it. You know, I've seen how it changes the whole learning paradigm in small ways and large ways. And I really want to share that with other educators. You know, I've seen how the sparks fly and the engagement increases and people's, you know, students' curiosity about the world is just an amazing thing that we need to harness. And to do global projects, to do mystery Skypes, to do all sorts of things that include, you know, connecting with the world is so important in education, in learning.
Well, you said a quote in the panel that I took and I put it up and gave you credit on my website because it was develop curiosity to learn about the world with the world.
Yes.
I just love that.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I was thinking about that because it's, you know, I do say a lot, we need to learn about the world with the world, because I think a lot of global education, the focus is, oh, let's make sure we learn about the world. But from my point of view, it's not just about the world, it's learning with the world. How do we develop experiences so that teachers and students can learn with the world? And this whole thing about curiosity really puts the onus back on the learner, you know, the teacher and the student. You have to be curious, you have to be interested. And I think a lot of teachers aren't that interested. You know, they're interested in their retirement or their, you know, things. And this is something we need to sort of keep trying to turn this as well and provide that stimulus so that teachers can become curious and want to learn as like the students.
Well, not many teachers travel like you do or travel at all. Some teachers close their door and don't even work with the teacher next door. So this is hard. And so maybe, you know, your book, The Global Educator, maybe we should just define what is a global educator, and maybe we can kind of help pull some of these teachers out of their comfort zone.
Absolutely. And, you know, that first section of the book that ISTE published last year, The Global Educator, was I defined a global educator through what people were telling me, you know, and my experiences as well. So it's a real combination because people responded to my call out, you know, I'm writing a book, tell me what you think, tell me who are you, what do you do? So, you know, a global educator connects themselves with they're connected with the world. So they do use different types of media, social media, Twitter, whatever, blogs, etc., to share what they're doing with the world and then to connect and communicate and collaborate with the world. So this is a really important point. So yes, you know, sitting in your room, not connected physically or virtually to the world does not make you a global educator, but you can still sit in your room and connect with the world and be a global educator. It doesn't take a plane ticket. It takes a mindset. So the use of Web 2.0 tools is really important. And I see still so many schools who I know they're trying to do the best they can. So they bring in Office 365 or they bring in Google Classroom or they bring in other learning management systems are great if you're in the school, but it doesn't allow you to connect beyond the school. You know, they often have walls, So knowing how to get over those walls, knowing what tools will allow you to get over those walls so that you're still satisfying the requirements of the school is really important as well.
Well, it's what I find that's very difficult is that it's like, how do you do this? I know you have you're a consultant with your company, Learning Confluence. Am I saying it right?
That's right, Learning Confluence, yeah. Yes.
Confluence. I love that name. It's the idea. How did you come up with that?
Oh, look, it's the coming together of ideas. You know, when you think of a confluence, it's the coming together of rivers or waterways or, and I'm not probably giving the technical explanation there. I think I've got it on my website somewhere. I had it at one stage. I've got a little video about it, actually, that I made years ago, why I called it Learning Confluence. But, you know, that was a few years ago. But it's the coming together and the blending. And then it's like the, you know, you're a little river. By yourself, you're okay. But if you come and blend with the other rivers, you become one big water mass. And let's see what we can do together. So it's bringing together those ideas and influences and, you know, motivations to move forward.
Well, that's what, you know, when you're a global educator and you're reaching out and connecting to other classrooms, or you're bringing in experts from, or you're even learning about the world. You know, I talked to a French teacher who has her kids talk French to different countries, you know, different people in different countries that speak French. And I think, well, that's real.
Absolutely.
You're learning about the culture and you're learning about everything, but you're really learning the language if you have to speak it. And so I'm just excited about the way that you're able to help. But you mentioned how some teachers are resistant, but it seems like some systems get in the way too. How do you handle that? I mean, what do you do with the schools you work with?
It's creating workarounds. And I work with schools across Australia. Australia is very much like the USA in that every state has a different education department. So every state has its own rules. And now we have a national curriculum, but every state is deciding how they will apply that national curriculum. So there's still no real consistency, unfortunately. So, yeah, so you know, you've got a state like Queensland where they block Skype. You've got a state like Victoria where our friend Anne Murchison is, where it's quite a lot more progressive. They're doing things that are ahead of some of the other states. You've got South Australia where they're doing some interesting things as well, but they're all sort of different. So really the thing is to try and work around it, you know, and talk. It's all about communication with your IT people and just explaining how important it is to have things unblocked, how important it is to be able to have tools that allow you to connect with the world. And I think a lot of the time teachers just give up. They think, oh, look, it's all above me. The IT person's over there. He only visits once a week. I don't know what to say to him. Look, I just can't do it. So, you know, my encouragement, you know, I say to people, don't give up. You've got to keep talking and make it happen.
Do you ever have them work with another teacher, like who could model it for them, go in another classroom or?
Yeah, there's different ways that we do it, different ways that I do it. It's great to, you know, connect people together. And that one way I do that is through my global projects. So we have, you know, newbies come in and then people have done the projects before and, you know, they mentor each other. It's also great to, you know, have people who've done certain things like a Skype call, you know, join up with this person because they know what they're doing and they will teach you. So, and that's a really important process as well.
Well, I like in your book, you give so many tips. So, I mean, I could just go pick a page and and find, you know, some really exciting things because you talk about how they can plan and how they can design these projects. You talk about the different way of developing the communities, and you can tell if I showed you all the ways I've written in here and all of it. I love your book, and I love all the work you put in, and that you brought in so many different examples. Is there anything that you know you'd like to kind of just share in the short time that we have about your book?
Oh goodness! Well, look, you know the thing about the book is, it's actually that hard copy is really only half the book. So, yeah, Sorry to tell you, you've got half the book. So what happened was I wrote this book and Isti said, oh, too long, cut it in half. So the thing is, the 36 case studies, which are actually described in the book, you get a little paragraph or sometimes half a page describing what the case study is. The full case study is actually in the e-book. So the ebook is also available through ISTE, and I'll tell you a little secret. I'm also blogging every case study, one a week over 36 weeks. So,
goodness.
They're all going to be available on my blog anyway. I'm nearly halfway through. I've had a couple of weeks break actually because I've been traveling, but I hate things stuck behind a wall. It's not that ISTE are trying to stick them behind a wall. It's just that people often don't realise you've got to buy the ebook to actually get the case studies and the audio files. So now I'm putting them all on my blog anyway, so you'll be able to get them eventually. But so that's one thing about the book. But I think that chapter on global collaboration, or that section three on global collaboration, that should actually be a book in itself, because it's, you know, I've said a lot of things and I need to make that a lot clearer, I think, in many respects. But it is about design. It's about planning and about design. And we need to look at how we can embed this into the curriculum. That's my main message there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talk a lot about technology and leveraging technology for collaboration, because that's the only way you really can do this globally for many of the projects that you have. Do you want to just mention a little bit about what you mean by leveraging technology? Yeah. I mean, you mentioned a little bit already, but...
Sure. Yeah, well, it's just, you know, understanding what... So if you need to connect, how are you going to connect? What tools are you going... Like, for example, this meeting room that we're in now, that's a really good tool to connect with. And then how are you going to communicate? What are the communication methods for keeping the collaboration going? And, you know... Teachers aren't always the best communicators, you know, and they really need to model that for their students. And this has to go beyond email. So we've got to have tools like Edmodo. We've got to have tools like Ning. I still use a Ning for my high school project. That's been around for years. And then what's the actual plan? When you get students together, and I'm talking global projects now specifically, what are they going to do? What's the timeline? What are the milestones? What's going to happen by the end? How are they going to collaborate? All those sort of things. And this really takes some planning, because, you know, I bring 500 students into a project. You can't bring 500 students into a project and not have a plan. And even if it's just two classrooms coming together, that's, you know, 50 students perhaps, 40 or 50 students, you've still got to have a plan, because then otherwise students get, well, what's happening now? We don't know what to do. You know, you've got to keep it rolling and have specific things that they do. And we're having some great success with, you know, some of the new tools that have come out. One new tool in particular called Flipgrid is such a great tool. And it's a little video recording tool where you can create a message in 30 seconds or 3 minutes or whatever. And, you know, kids are having a lot of fun with that. And it's very, very in your face. You know, you can see immediately who the person is, what they're saying. Another tool we're having a lot of success with is Padlet. That's more, they're both asynchronous tools. And then, of course, Google Slides, you know, co-creating something using Google Slides. You know, and that's a very typical tool that people are using, but they often use it just within their school and don't realize the collaborative possibilities of it.
So you mentioned three that I love. And do you know Bronwyn Joyce?
Yes.
Okay, she's a Flipgrid ambassador, so I'll be sharing some of hers. And what I found that's really important is that what are these tools that are coming out, which you are sharing, but also what are some examples of people, how are they using them? Because some people don't really know the next step.
Yes, you know, that's true. And, you know, I use Flipgrid with kindergarten students right up to master's degree level students that are where I teach at Charles Sturt University. I'm an adjunct there. So it's one of those amazing tools. It's great for kindergarten. It's great for your master's degree level. So, you know, things like setting up questions, having a little prompt video, like the little kids, we get them to sit in twos or threes in front of the camera. So they're actually having a little conversation as well, which is really cute. I actually did a collaboration with Joyce Valenza and Rutgers University. So we had our higher ed students connect with each other via Flipgrid. So we had a couple of Flipgrids across 6 weeks, and we gave them, you know, one was innovation and collaboration or something, and another one was something else. So they had a particular message we wanted them to respond to and to discuss. And that was very successful.
Yeah, Joyce is wonderful. Actually, she did a Flipgrid and I joined it once because she uses that a lot. So if maybe when we mention this would be really nice to maybe put up a embed one, you know, or at least let people know where to go and maybe see how it works, because I think it's really important that people try these. You can even try them with your family over Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really, you could try things personally. So I always say try locally so you can go globally.
And, absolutely. That's a great message. Yes.
So one of the things that you talk about is being a leader, a global leader. What can we do as global leaders? What can they do?
Well, you know, when you talk about leadership, people think, oh, I'm not in a position of responsibility. I don't know. But, you know, leadership comes from the classroom. It comes from the positions of responsibility. So it comes from every level of education. So as a global leader in the classroom, now I often use the word teacherpreneur. And so that specifically means, you don't have to particularly be in the classroom, but it really does mean someone who's teaching still, not just doing admin, and is in that position where they can start to influence and lead what happens. So grabbing those new ideas, connecting with other people beyond the immediate environment, and planning to implement those ideas and actually following through and doing it, you know. And I really think that's, you know, that's where the teacherpreneur profile is relevant. And then, of course, you've got your administration leaders who, you know, they need to understand what global education and global collaboration is. And that's where most of our work needs to go, actually. I see classroom teachers moving forward. I don't see administrators moving forward as much as they should, talking generally.
So what suggestions would you like to give our audience of administrators out there? or maybe inspire them.
Yes,
sure. To be in the global, you know, in this new direction and be a global leader.
You know, I always say the way that you learn is to really get your hands on the tools and do it yourself. You know, things like setting up an administrator's Flipgrid or joining an administrator's network or doing some sort of online course. You know, time is always the essence. Time is the main thing that people always say is against them. But it's really priorities. And I don't know, you really don't understand global collaboration until you've been involved with it. And, you know, if you've got teachers in your school, and I'm talking specifically, you know, curriculum coordinators, IT directors, superintendents, head of schools, principals, we call them here, you know, if you've got things happening in your school, get your hands dirty. You know, go in and say, look, I want to help. The projects I run, we bring people in called learning concierges. So they could be all sorts of people who, you know, at any level of education, who want to help. You know, we bring in professors from university and pre-service teachers as well who get their hands dirty working with high school students in the global collaboration. So there's a role for everybody when we talk about global education.
I love the idea of learning concierge. You know, that's a great term, and I don't know if people have heard that before.
Once again, it's not original. I didn't coin it. It was around before I put it out there. So, but yeah, it is. It's just like, you know, how do we help the learning? How do we support it? So it's, once again, it's flattens the learning. It's a flat learning term, because it's not about, oh, how are we going to show others or how are we going to teach down to others? It's really about how can we come and join you as you learn about the world with the world?
Well, that whole idea of, you know, I've always come up with a title, and I love that Learn About the World with the World could be the title of this podcast, because it's just, one, it's you, and it's beautiful. And I do need you to define, you said teacherpreneur, but do you want to say anything to teachers about how they could become a teacherpreneur?
I guess becoming a teacherpreneur, once again, is really just taking advantage of opportunities. And I'll say this really bluntly, and I know I say it in my book, don't take no for an answer. Don't give up. You know, I've got myself, I tell you, Barbara, I've got myself into a lot of trouble in the past not taking no for an answer. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And look, I'm not suggesting that people get themselves into trouble with their colleagues or supervisors, but sometimes that's what it takes. You know, you've really got to be determined and just say, look, well, I need to do this. We need to do this. And I see schools, for example, if there's a grade four teacher who really wants to do a global collaboration and the other grade four teachers don't want to do it, then the supervisor or the curriculum coordinator says, well, I'm sorry, you can't do it. Well, don't allow that to happen. Just say, look, let me pilot this and then maybe the others can come on next year. You know, as a teacherpreneur, you know what's best for your students. You want student-directed learning. You want personalised learning. You want exciting, engaging activities in your classroom. Don't let others stop you from doing that.
Oh, I love it. So the one thing you are saying, and everyone needs to hear, it's really all about our kids.
It is.
If that's the best thing is to connect them to the world, why don't we do it?
That's it. I tell you, Barbara, the conference I was at in China 2 weeks ago, I almost felt despair because international teachers hadn't really moved on. You may not want to put this bit in.
Sorry, there are some that do. Yeah. You do. You're international for me.
Yeah. I'm being a bit negative now, but it is all about the kids and it's about teachers understanding. It's not about control. It's not about all of the admin work that we have to do around this. It's about connecting with the world and how to solve global issues. You know, understanding that students are the future, they will solve the global issues. So let's give them a head start at least.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. And Julie, this is, I tell you, I could talk to you all day, but I'm going to bring you back another time when you're starting to do some more of these projects and we can talk a little more detail about the case studies. So thank you so much. This has been wonderful. Is there anything you just want to share, or do you think there's anything that I didn't touch on that you want to say?
Oh, look, there's so much to say, Barbara. I guess what I'm doing now with how my life is moving forward is I'm doing my PhD around online global collaboration. So it's a case study, qualitative research. So, preliminary findings are that, global education, global collaboration is having a positive impact on pedagogical change. So, maybe that's something we could talk about in the future, but I've got about another year of study and I'm starting to write my thesis now. It's a lot of work, as people out there know who have done this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm just, your energy and working on a PhD at the same time, I just want to kind of do my little bows and kudos, because we need that evidence. We need the research. And who better to do that on global education but you? You're the one to do that. So
Thanks, Barbara.
So much. This was fun.
Thank you.
And with our time zone, she's up very early, everybody. I'm so grateful she did that. Thank you, everyone, for joining Rethinking Learning. Today was wonderful with Julie Lindsay. I'm so glad you were here. Thanks, Julie.
Thanks, Barbara. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Rethinking Learning podcast and my conversation with Julie Lindsay. Make sure you visit barbarabray.net to learn more about Julie and global education and all the amazing projects she can share with you, because we're going to create a complimentary blog post with resources and links, and then you can leave a comment for Julie. You see, these conversations are all part of a bigger picture to transform education. I invite you to leave a review on iTunes and share or retweet the post on Twitter and use the hashtag rethink_learning. So please subscribe to the podcast and the website at barbarabray.net so you can join the conversations.